thank you for the blood, because we're all here because of the blood today. Ooh, just thank him. Ooh, let me tell you something. I've been going through something. I've been going through it all my life. And I come here to Grace Community, and I'm not going to blame it on the church. But I come here, and all those questions that I need an answer, I'm getting my answers. And God is working on me, because he's taking me from where I used to be to where he wants me to be now. And I'm realizing that it's not my way. I want to do things Deborah's way. Deborah can't do it her way. Deborah's in control of nothing. I'm battling the devil every day, just like some of y'all are. But you know the difference is, I'm turning it over to God. I'm giving it to somebody that can make a difference. Somebody that can help me through this thing, because I can't do it. I tell him every day, I can't do this by myself. I struggle with things. I struggle with anger. Oh God, I struggle with love. I love people, but people don't always love me the way I love them. Oh glory. But I just feel like this song today, we need it. And y'all need to open up your hearts, open up your minds, and give God your greatest praise. Hallelujah. I thank him today. I'm not here for a show. I'm not here for fashion. I'm here because I'm searching. Woo, hallelujah. And I thank God. I thank him, saints. Just thank him for whatever it is, even if you're falling on your face. Thank him. Because you know he's right there to help pick you up.
That's right.
Even when you're messing up, thank him. Lord, I thank you, because if he wasn't there, no telling where you would be. I would hate to think where I would be right now today at almost 66 years of age. But I thank God. I thank God that he looked beyond my flaws and my faults. And he seen me, little Deborah. Oh, glory. Just give him some praise. Yes, I didn't want to come here.
Hello. Amen. I was driving this week. Beginning of the week, you ever hit that moment of despair in your life to where you're just desperately seeking, you know, you just maybe you lost your energy and there's no reason for it. You know what I mean? You don't always have to be in sin to be under attack. Sometimes you can be right where you're supposed to be and be under attack. You can be right who you're supposed to be and be under attack. And by the way, no flesh and blood's attacking you today. It may come through a vessel, but it's not the person. It's the enemy. We're wrestling against darkness. Garrett, if there's a sermon in your heart, sure, God has sparked one on you. Satan's gonna come after it. He's gonna try to steal the fire, steal the passion. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody needs to hear it. And those are the ones they need to hear the most, brother. You know, I know that I was driving, I was seeking, I was reading, and all of a sudden God took me back to that verse to where Pharaoh said, let's make their workload harder. Let's increase it. Let's take away all the provisions we're giving them. They think they're gonna leave? Let's break them. I'm gonna tell you this right now. If you're about to walk away from anxiety, if you're about to trust God enough to restore your home or to restore your hope or to restore your faith, if you're about to surrender something to God, there's a Pharaoh in your life that's gonna say, I will break you. I will break you. I'm not gonna let that happen. And when you say, honey, we're going to work on this marriage, he's coming after it. When you stand and you say, God, I'm going to trust you with my finances, he's coming after it. But greater is he that is in you than that stupid Pharaoh we call Satan, than he that is in the world. Listen to me. I was sitting there and I was reading it, and the Bible says that it became so labor intensive for them that they couldn't handle it. They were breaking under the pressure, begging for mercy. And as they begged, it got worse. I told my wife, you know what God spoke to me? If Satan tried to use bricks to break them, And while they were carrying the enemy's bricks, what they did not realize is that allowance of Satan's attack, God was using it to train them and to strengthen them. Because in just a couple of weeks, they would no longer be carrying the bricks of Egypt. They would be carrying the gold of Egypt and the wealth of Egypt as God would exodus them from their 430 years of plague and 430 years of broken and 430 years of hardship. I'm going to tell you this right now. You may feel like the world is coming down on your shoulders, but what if God has put the world or allowed the world to be on your shoulders because he's about to put a blessing on those shoulders that if you don't get strengthened and you don't get tough and you don't get strong, you won't be able to carry it out. And you may be thinking you're breaking, but what the enemy means for evil, God will use for good. And you say, but I'm in slavery because of me. God doesn't look at the condition of why you are a captive today. He looks at the victor of how you can be set free today and how you can be conquering and more than a conqueror. You may be carrying bricks today, but you may be carrying his wealth tomorrow. God will strip. Here, listen to me. Oh, I love it. He will strip the enemy's story off your life. He will strip the testimony of what Satan did or what you and I allowed Satan to do. And he will use that story for his glory. You may be sitting here and you may be saying, he can't use me. Oh, Pharaoh's in your corner. Stand up, Moses. Come on now. I heard it said in the message this week as I was listening. Moses stood before God, and God started talking about his hand. This is not mine. This is a pastor that if I said his name, most of you would turn me off, so I'm not going to say his name. God said, they're not going to believe you, Moses, so with my mighty hand, I will come down on them so that they will know that there is a God that reigns in Israel. That they will know that there's a God. It's my mighty hand. And I love this pastor said, and right after he talked about his mighty hand, he looked at Moses and said, what's in your hand, bro? What do you have? And Moses had a rod that represented what he shouldn't have ever been, a shepherd. He had a rod that reminded him of his shame. He was raised to be a Pharaoh, but was hidden in a field keeping sheep that were not even his, in a wilderness that was not even home. He was not where he was supposed to be. Let's not talk about that. Hey, understand this. Moses goes down this river crying as a baby, loaded with crocodiles, yet somehow, and here it is, the Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter heard his cry and had compassion. Isn't it amazing that it's the broken season of your life that draws in the audience that might be what God uses to resurrect everything in you? And as Moses has this staff, God tells him to take his hand and stick it in his cloak. When it comes out, it's what? Anybody know? It's leprous. It's a shame to be a leper. Matter of fact, you had to scream 6 times walking down the road. Unclean! Unclean! Anytime you came in contact with somebody who didn't have leprosy, you had to scream your shame. And God said, Moses, put it back in. And the Bible says when Moses brought that hand back out, it was clean. You know what God said? There is no shame. What is in your hand? Hey, I got a mighty hand. Would you be with me today? God has a mighty hand. Can you say that? God has a mighty hand. Proclaim it. God has a mighty hand. But he wants my hand too. He wants my hand to join with his hand and accomplish. He wants your hand too. Now, hey, you can't proclaim God has a mighty hand and not believe that God can't make your hand mighty. He says, throw it down, and it's a rod, right? I love the Bible version of this. Moses, when it turned into a snake, he ran. You know, and it's like, he's smart. It's not because he didn't trust God. It's a stupid snake. You run when there's a snake, all right? But God says, pick it back up. I preach this and preach this and preach this. Maybe you're sick of hearing it. I hope you get so sick of hearing it, you start believing it. That in Moses' hand, Moses proclaimed, he professed it to be a staff. But when he laid it down and he picked it back up, God turned it into something different. And from that moment forward in Scripture, it's called the rod of God. The rod of God. A staff he should have never held became the weapon he couldn't go without. You might have a testimony you should have never had. You might be in a hardship you should have never been in. You might be experiencing a brokenness that you should have never gone through. And you may be thinking that because that's in your hand and in your life and on your name and it is your story and that's what people know about you and that's what people say about you, you may feel like you're done and God can't use you. But I'm going to tell you this right now. If you will give to God what you're ashamed of today, God will transform that, give it back, and it'll become something that God uses as a weapon to drive out the enemy, not just in your life, but in the lives of those around you. You're not what you used to be, but I'm going to tell you this. God will use what you used to be to help somebody get out of what they're not supposed to be. And God will use where you used to be to lead somebody else out of where they should not be. God is not done with you, even if you were done with him. God is not giving up on you, even if you've given up on him. God is the God today that will meet you in the wilderness with nobody else around, because God is not into the fact of needing an audience. God is into the fact of wanting a relationship. And God will call you, and God will raise you, and God will ordain you, and God will use you. And right now, it's time to give God your shame and let God take what the devil did in your life and turn it into something that he can use so that somebody else would not experience what you're going through today. There is no shame in Jesus. There's healing today. So when we sing, "There is nothing stronger than the blood," can I tell you that's more than a lyric? It's a weapon. It's kind of like this. If Satan were sitting with you right now and y'all were having a conversation, which with some of you he is, you say, "You're saying I'm satanic?" No, I'm saying he is. And even as I speak, he looks at you and says, "If they only knew. If they only knew who you were. If they only knew what you did." See, I was reading ahead in our study in Ephesians 4 this week. And I got to the verse where it says, "You're not like the Gentiles. They have no shame." I've been carrying a lot of shame. Anybody else in this place? Say me too. If you're not careful, that shame just beats you down, doesn't it? Anybody felt its abuse? Let's see your hand. Anybody felt the sting of guilt? You know what the Bible says in Ephesians 4? Oh, this is good. That if you were godless, you wouldn't have shame. And that really spoke to me. Matter of fact, can I just get a little off script today? Already am. I don't know why I'm asking you. But with the Lord's authority, I say this. Live no longer as Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness, and they wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice all types of impurity. You know what Satan tells me? You've had sexual sin in your life. You can't preach against it. But I can. And I can stand on it and I can say, "Hey, here's the damages it caused." But I can also say, "You don't have to do this. And you don't need to do this. And it'll never fulfill you. It'll never satisfy you. It is not what you're looking for. It is not what's going to give you confidence. And it's not what's going to make you feel like you can stand up again. It's not going to take away the pain of what your daddy did. It's not going to take away your abandonment. It's not going to take away your rejection. Matter of fact, it's going to isolate you. And it's going to put you in an abandoned mindset. The enemy is going to come tell you how worthless you are. You say, enemy says, "Josh, don't ever speak against impurities. You've had them in your life." But God says, "Bro, tell them. It's not anything. It's worthless. It does nothing. But he can fulfill your heart. He can satisfy you. He can bring you in and make you a part of something. He can take away every hurtful word your daddy ever said to you. He can take away the absence of a parent because he's a wonderful father today. He can take away that rejection in your life because you are called, you are chosen, you're adopted into the family of God. Hey, today, here it is. Let me give you a word. Here it is. If there's shame in your life, it's because Jesus is there." You say, "Well, the shame is too hard to bear." It would be the absence of shame that should worry you. Because the Gentiles, you know what the Gentiles represent in the Bible, right? The godless. The Antichrist mindset. It says the Gentiles have no shame. How many of you have felt shame? Let's see it again. It's because the Holy Spirit's there, bro. Son or daughter, listen to me. It's because there's a presence of holiness that your spirit can't bear what's unholy with a clear conscience. It's because there's a presence of purity. Maybe it's not in you, but it's in the spirit that lives within you. And when that, where the presence of the Lord is, there can't be darkness. And when the darkness comes in, you're not going to be comfortable. And I'm not telling you that you need to walk in shame, but I am saying this. Stop letting Satan tell you that your shame makes you feel like, or makes you believe, or makes you something that's unholy or unworthy. The presence of that shame is the conviction of God calling you to something greater. Jesus killed your guilt, and he killed your shame. We are free today in Jesus Christ, not by our works, but by what his precious blood has done. And today, if you are here today, and you're so tired of feeling the shame, know this. Shame is the warning light where God is telling you there's something better than this for you. And you say, well, I'm not living that way anymore. Please write this in your notes. If you're not living that way anymore, then don't live there anymore. Because shame will draw you back to the moments of your life that you didn't allow God to use you, and it will trap you there. And make you feel like God can't use you where you are. I'm not saying let's be happy about shame today. But you know what God told me? You feel bad because you were bad, even though I have made you good. You feel bad because you went bad, even when I had led you to better. So don't go there anymore. Don't live there anymore. Don't believe there anymore. Trust him and follow him and watch him change your life. Verse 20. But that's not what you've learned about Christ. Since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him. Here it is. Say those two words with me. Ready? Throw off. Say it again. Throw off. Write it down. It doesn't come naturally. You've got to make a choice. Throw off. Get rid of your old sinful nature. We said it earlier. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. Say it again. I'm new. I'm new because of you, Jesus. I'm new. Is there anybody else that's got a little bit more joy in the fact that you're new today? Say it. I'm new. I'm new, I'm new, I'm new, I'm new because I have you. Since you have heard about Jesus and you've learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted. By what? You know what that says? You're not the only one. You're not the only one. You say, well, I have never been tempted to cheat. Oh, listen. If you thought cheating on people's what mattered, you've missed the whole message. Any sin is the affair against God. Any sin is stepping away from what Jesus has done. You're the bride of Christ today. We are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And when I lie, I'm stepping away from God. When I gossip, I'm stepping away from God. When I step into a season that I should not be, when I'm a glutton-free, you know, glutton, I'm stepping away from God. You say, hey, you know what? You know what I believe? A church that's going to come alive is the church that doesn't justify or measure sin, but calls sin, sin, and Jesus, Jesus, and believes that Jesus is greater than any sin, and that Jesus loves every sinner, and that Jesus can rescue anyone, and that Jesus can change anyone's direction. And when a church believes that and we understand that, remember we talked about it last way, the only way to grow spiritually is to grow in the knowledge of Christ. It's not to grow, and I'll tell you this, if you're in a great small group that's not helping you learn about Jesus, then you're not in a good small group at all. If you're in a celebrator, you're in a church that's not teaching you how to understand Jesus better, then it is doing you no good. Hey, it is by faith you are saved today. It's not through your works. I'm not going to stand up here and teach you how to work better. I'm going to stand up here and tell you, just trust Him better. Believe in Him more and watch God do what He wants to do. Let people talk. Let them do what they want to do. But God has rescued you and brought you into His glorious light. And God has redeemed you. And God has sanctified you. And God has made you right today through Jesus Christ. Oh, it was never about your righteousness in the first place. Our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. But be ye holy, because I am holy. Verse 23. Instead, let the Spirit renew what? What I think and what influences what I do. Remember, we've said it this way before, Barbara. Maybe I won't get it right. Help me if I get it wrong. My thoughts produce my feelings. My feelings produce my actions. See, the Bible says Satan's going to try to entice you with lust, right? But not only is he going to try to entice you with the lust towards money or towards something or towards being right. Some of us as husbands are terrible husbands because we always have to be right. All right? I mean, let's just be real. Some of us are the worst person to trust with ministry because we always have to be seen. Am I right? You know, I'm going to tell you this right now. If you always need the spotlight, understand it's not fun. It burns. It blinds. It hurts. It exposes. It puts it up there. But some people feel like they have to be the one in charge. I mean, it's a Jezebel spirit. They have to be the one in control. They have to be the one manipulating. They have to do that. Your lust doesn't necessarily mean you're drawn to a specific thing. It could be that you're drawn to power and self-promotion and self-ambition and jealousy. And the Bible says in James chapter number 3, that's demonic, that's evil, it's not of God, it's earthly. See, a lot of times we come to church and we start dealing with all the problems like lay down your drugs and lay down your sex and lay down all this. Lay it all down. But what about the internal things? The internal things are what matters the most. See, we can deal with the cancer symptoms all day long, but until somebody finds the tumor, we're not doing anything. And if we can't find what's making the bad in your life, hey, we are really just babysitting you and we're not helping you at all. But Jesus is a cure. He's an answer. He's a fulfiller. See, Satan will draw you with your lust and then he'll lie to you. Kind of sounds like this. Did God say if you'll eat of that fruit, you'll die? No, you'll be like him. In other words, if you get this position, you'll feel better about yourself. Right? If you get that promotion, then they notice you. If you do the dishes, your wife is going to come home and say you're the best husband in the world. No, we laugh, but we do those things, do we not? And then all of a sudden, he comes home and he didn't notice that you worked all day on the house. All of a sudden, she comes home and didn't notice that you did one thing. You sing and nobody says you did a good job. And if you're not careful, and you're singing for the wrong reasons, and you're doing for the wrong reasons, you'll find that the position did not heal you. It hurt you. That the action did not satisfy you. It robbed you. If we do it for the glory, we'll lose the whole story because we think, hey, if I do this, all my hurt and all my pain will be gone, but it'll only hurt you more. Because what I found is it's not that people don't notice, it's that people got so much going on in their own lives, they can't deal with what's going on in everybody else's. And it's not that you're alone. It's just that the person behind you or that sat around you today was going through something too. That the person that was near you had a heartbreak. And you're sitting there saying, nobody cares about me. And they're sitting right there thinking the same thing. And they're looking around just trying to find somebody that notices what they've done. And I'm going to tell you, you'll never, ever find your value in the words of other people. You know why? They're short-lived. They're very rare. And most times people don't mean what they say. Am I right? Amen? You better say amen. Some of you said some very mean things to people. Right? Did you mean them or were you mad? Can you agree with me that sometimes you say things that you had no belief in at all? Am I right? But have you ever told somebody, I didn't mean that, and they look at you and said, you would have never said it if you didn't feel it? That's a lie. Sometimes I just want to hurt you. Am I right? Sometimes I just want you to feel some of the pain I feel, because maybe if you feel the pain I feel, you'll care about me. And I'm going to tell you this. Satan is a liar. He's a deceiver. And it just becomes a cycle. That if I can turn everybody against this person, then maybe they'll see me as a good person. I'm going to tell you this now. Nobody will ever remember what you say. Nobody will ever remember what you do, but they will remember how you made them feel. They will remember what you did in their life. They may stand one day on a stage and say, I remember somebody saying this, but I don't know who it was. You know what that is? A job well done. Where all we leave behind in somebody's life is Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you this, while they'll forget your name, he never will. Well, they'll never remember all the things you did. And while they'll never remember all the grace and glory you showed and the mercy that you give, he's keeping records today on you so that when you stand before him, he will reward you for the things that you've done. Oh, to stand in the presence of Jesus with a treasure too good for earth, but something of eternal worth, like the soul of another believer that was reached because you cared more about standing in front of Jesus than you did about standing in front of other people. Instead of being deceived, instead of doing all these things that don't fulfill you, greatest thing I ever did with my life was give up Facebook, because I no longer care who likes what I say. That's me. Might not be your story. Greatest thing I ever did, because I'm not going on to see how many people watch the sermon every week. You know, I'm not reading the comments. I'm not reading the reviews. Our rating as a church does not bother me. You say, well, there's so many of this. I don't care how many likes we have and follows. You know why? I got rid of the thing that was trying to supplement my worth. And I found that I feel more valuable now than I've ever felt in ministry. Are you following the logic? Some of you have been lied to today. Maybe you even believe the lie that if you came to church today, that the pain you feel would go away. And yet here you are, sitting in the middle of a service, and people are praising and you can't find the joy. And Satan says, what's wrong with you? It's not what's wrong with you. It's the lie you're believing. This church can't heal you. And we cannot make you worship. I cannot bring you into a relationship with Jesus Christ, but I can bring Jesus into your life to give you the chance to experience the relationship, but it's got to be your choice. Some of you came here wore out by the world, carrying the weight of the world, feeling like it's that weight that's going to destroy you. And God's saying, Pharaoh may have made it worse on you, but I'm about to make all things right. And I'm just strengthening you for the fight, the journey that you're about to go through. So instead of being deceived, and instead of letting lust rule your life, let the Spirit, not you. Isn't this amazing? Please write this down. Self-help books will always tell you to change the way you think. But God knows how weak we are, so he knows that we cannot do it. Only the Holy Spirit can. And you're sitting here and maybe thinking, I've got to change my mindset. But the Bible says only the Spirit. Let the Spirit change the way you think. Let the Spirit change the way you feel. I mean, have you ever told your kids, wipe that frown off your face? How many of you have ever done it? Wipe those tears off your cheek. All right, okay, so we got this in common. Does that work? You know, I was the kid that when that statement was made to me, I cried harder. Anybody else like that? All the crybabies, let's see you represent. Mom looked at me and said, you better dry it up. It's like, you just turned the water on. Here it comes. Here comes the faucet. Here comes the feelings. See, God doesn't come to you and look at you, Cindy, and say, change your mind, change your mind, change your mind. Not even in Romans, not even Paul could write that you have the ability to change your mind. You know, Paul would write it this way, be transformed. You cannot transform your life today. But the Spirit of God can come touch you and be totally different in a moment. Like a woman with the issue of blood, we learned about this in Bible school. She could not heal herself, but she knew if she could touch Jesus, there was something about Jesus that could change her life. And she went up and she touched his garment. And immediately, don't you love that? The change came out of him and into her. And he said, somebody has touched me. And the disciples look around and say, duh, you're in a crowd. You're swarmed by people. And he said, no, some virtue, something holy, something powerful just left my body. And it has moved into somebody else. And there she was, the woman that was called, all we know, the issue of blood. And I love how Steve has said this in a sermon. Hey, in that moment, all we ever knew was she had a problem. We only knew her circumstances, but once she touched Jesus, he turns and he looks at her, and we get an identity in this woman. She's no longer a woman with an issue. She's a daughter. He looks at her and says, daughter, you've been healed. Why? She had faith. Some of you have issues today, and you can't change them. But just believe in the one who can and watch what his touch can do. And maybe you can stop being the woman with issues or the guy with issues. Or as DJs, we've heard it, that pastor. And you can start becoming the son, the daughter of the Most High. Let the Spirit renew. Some of you just need to stop right there and say, God, make me new. Just make me new, because I've been trying. How many of you have been trying to live a godly life? Slip your hand up. How many have been trying to serve the Lord? I've been trying to put yourself out there, trying to get friends. It seems like the more you try, the more you fail. Come on, where you at? The more you put yourself out there, the more it hurts. I'm trying. David didn't say, try the Lord and see that he's good. He said, take a bite. Taste the Lord. And see that he's good. You know why? Because there's nothing in your try that has the power to change your life. But there is everything in him that you would ever need to be totally different than you've ever been in your life. Let him renew your thoughts and your attitudes. And then look at what it says. Put on your new nature. Created to be like God. Whew, anybody read these last words and say, I don't really feel truly righteous and holy. You know why? Because you can't be truly and righteous and holy. It's in him you find your righteousness, and it's in him you find your holiness and your true nature, your new nature that's created to be like God in the Spirit will make you righteous and holy. But there's two statements that were made that must be done. Back up. I'm not even going to preach my message today. This is going to be it. Holy cow, you're going to get to Cracker Barrel. Good. This is it. Verse 22. Say the first two words with me. Throw off. Verse 24. Say the first two words with me. Verse 22 says what? Verse 24 says what? Say it again. Verse 22. Verse 24. Four? Hey, is there any room for, hey, take it off one piece at a time, go through a program, go through these things? Is there anything that tells you in those moments that you've got to go through somebody else's approval to make sure you've got everything off? Or does the Bible say, get naked before God in your spiritual state and let God clothe you right now? It's like this, the moment you take off your sin, God's got a wardrobe of righteousness ready. The moment you take off your dirt, they slimed me Friday, I walked into my office, and the moment I took the slime off, I had clothes to put back on, and I walked in a filthy mess, and I walked out clean. Why? Because there was a wardrobe change ready for me. Understand this today. You can try the rest of your life to feel worthy, and you'll never make it until you take the moment of forget this. I'm done with this. This life is over, and His life in me has begun. And today, some of us need to throw off our grudges, and some of us need to throw off our sin, and some of us need to throw off our hate, and all of this is sin. Some of us need to throw off our ungodly mouth that likes to tear down everybody we can possibly tear down, and somebody needs to throw off their selfish ambition and throw off their desires that are being led by the deception of Satan. Some of us need to throw down some anxiety, don't we? Some of us need to throw down some worry and some fear. Some of us need to throw down that desire. I was raised independent, fundamental, and I'm not going to finish the rest because I'm not going to attack a denomination. I was raised to believe that you had to be perfect to be used by God and never felt worthy. And now I've realized that it was in the middle of my imperfection, God showed up and made me ready. And I believe that's what He wants to do. Verse 22 says what, Tammy? Throw off. Verse 24, what's it say, Barbara? Put on. It's immediate. It's immediate. And the best thing I think we could do as a church, best thing I think you could do at home, is right there where you just say, okay, God, I'm done. I'm done trying. I'm done putting in all this effort. I'm done doing it my way. I'm done believing these lies of my third grade teacher. I'm done believing that pornography can fulfill me. I'm done believing that I have to please people in order to lead people. I am done with these mindsets that are corrupting what you're trying to do in my life. So I throw off every bit of this carnality that Satan has thrown onto my life, and I put on Jesus, and I welcome the Holy Spirit, and I ask for your power, and I ask for your blessing to flood my veins. May there be a fire that burns deep in my soul. God, I'm done with this worry and anxiety. I'm done with this lackluster faith. I'm done with this stand back and wait. God, I'm ready to go. You got a fire in the bush, put it in my heart. You got a message in your voice, put it in my song. You got a plan for my life, put it in my steps. God, whatever you will, whatever you want, I throw off and I put on you. And God, watch Him. He will meet you right there. And from that moment forward, you won't have the woe is me, I am unclean. You'll have the greater is He that is in me. You'll have the more than conqueror attitude. God did not call you through Jesus Christ to be a victim any longer. He called you to victory. He called you to freedom. And I believe it's time. I believe it's time that we just realize you can't do it. He can. So we open the invitation. We open the altars to the revival in your heart, to the revival in your soul, to the resurrection of the call of God on your life. You've got a new nature today in Jesus. So will you join me right here? So I don't believe in formality. This isn't formality. This is about this. Would you just get into a closet with Jesus and say, let's change clothes. Let's change mindset. And if revival is going to begin in your life, it's going to start on your knees. And I firmly believe we need it right here. Right now. So Sam, can you just sing? And as she sings, I'm gonna be honest with you. Before I get with anybody else right now, I just want to get alone with Jesus. I'm just gonna ask, does anybody else need to join me today? Maybe you're in your living room, maybe you're in that moment, and you can just turn around at your couch, you can just lay down where you are, maybe you're in your car, and you just need to cry out and say, okay, God, I throw off all these things and I put on my cry calling you. Would you stand? And come on, don't be shy today. Let's give it to Jesus. Would you sing? Would you sing? Let me have my moment, and then we will.
I want to confess something right now.
You're online. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay.
I want to confess something in front of my brothers and sisters right now, and my wife is in her prayer room. Josh, you know my addiction, and I'm going to confess it right now in front of everybody. Josh has been a counselor with me since last year. He knows my addiction. I'm addicted to porn. This message I really needed today, because I'm ready to throw it off and to be a better husband to my wife. This addiction is too strong for me to handle.
It's not too strong for Jesus, though.
Exactly. I'm ready to throw it off and give it to Him. I'm ready to be a better husband. And I know He's got my strength, He's got my back, but my wife did not know this was coming today. But I am ready to throw it off and give it to him and be over with it.
Verse 22.
Throw off.
So what's verse 24?
Put on.
So what are you going to put on?
I'm going to put on new clothing. Start from this day forward.
You realize, here's the thing. Can I tell you this? And let's just forget about everybody else. But we're online, so let's give it to them. How do we put on Christ?
Read the Bible every day.
Okay, we can read it. We can pray. But how do we put on Christ? I'm going to teach you. I don't expect you.
Okay.
We got to believe. See, I can read it all day long, but if I don't believe it, if I don't put it into action, then it's nothing. And so I know we stand all the time and we tell people, let's read God's word, let's pray, let's testify. But we got to believe in what we're reading, and we got to believe in the one in who we're reading and trusting. And if I believe Jesus enough, then I know this. And let me speak this over you. Porn is not as strong as you think. You've given it the power. But you can take its power back. And you can give that power to Jesus, and you can give that power to the Holy Spirit, and you can trust him, and you can follow him, and you can believe in him, and you can obey him. And you watch, when you give that, what you give power to, what you feed, what you allow rules your life. What gets your attention gets you. So just give God that attention. And when that temptation comes into your life, and when that urge comes there, because brother, you just made it public to every demon and to every devil that walks this planet that wants to destroy you, but even more wants to destroy that woman and wants to destroy your marriage and destroy your kids and your grandkids. Hey, they are on alert right now to what you just made public that you're going to do. But so is every angel in the army of God. And so is the King of Kings. And so is the throne room of heaven. And so it's like this. You can believe that it has the power, or you can believe that Colossians was true, that when Jesus died, he stripped the enemy of every bit of its power. He publicly shamed him. He took your porn. He took your record of wrongs. He nailed it to the cross. He killed it, and it has no life. So no more CPR to what God has already killed. And no more giving life to what he's there. I'm going to tell you straightforward. Might not need a smartphone. Might not need computer access. Might not need any of that. And if you got a job that requires that, maybe we change jobs. How much does God mean to you? And even more, how much do you want God to use you? And if it's something that's going to get in your way, surrender it. Because I guarantee you, what God will put in its place is way better than what you're going to give up. Way more fulfilling. It will bring you back. So does God have the power to save you?
Yes.
Does God have the power to deliver you?
Yes.
Then give God the power, not your addiction. Satan has no power over you, brother. So I rebuke the lie that is too strong. That's his deceit. You're way stronger than you think. There's other men in this room. There's other women in this room that through your strength will find strength. Through your moment, just now, they're finding liberty too. And they don't have to grab the mic to get that liberty, by the way. But what did you just do in their lives? Was that power? Is that weakness?
It's power.
It's power. And to those that believed, he gave them the rights to become the sons and daughters of God, right? So if a woman can touch his garment and be healed with an issue of blood, then I firmly believe in faith, we can grab hold of the truth of his word. And if you know the truth will set you free. But if the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. Now, I believe your wife is in there, and that's where you need to be. Does that make sense? You go love on her. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I get visions of our little boys and little girls, our teenagers, and what their lives could be if they could grasp this truth right where they are. I get visions and dreams of what Jefferson County could be if a church could grasp this truth right where it is. There's power in the name of Jesus today. There's restoration through the name of Jesus today. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. He has raised you up. Oh, man. Thank you, Jesus, right? I grabbed one of the girls in our church. I'm not going to say who. I'm not going to say what it's about. That's theirs. And I told her a statement that I believe to be very true, that it's in the middle of someone's brokenness that you have the greatest moment and opportunity to have the greatest influence and impact. And even if you're mad and you're angry and you're upset with someone, how you treat them could totally shape the rest of their life. And when you're not supposed to treat them well, and you do, you give God the opportunity to change the heart of the one that's hurting you. And if we would simply give God some chances, I think we'd live in a totally different world, don't you? There needs to be some forgiveness in this place today. I feel it deep in my bones. There needs to be some self-awareness that you might be pointing fingers and saying everybody else is the problem, but you might be the root. The good news is you don't have to walk out of here the root. You can walk out of here the fruit. You can be an offspring of what Jesus wants you to be. I'm going to tell you this right now. I told somebody the other day, somebody said, I got the gift of this and the gift of that and the gift of this, but they have no love. They have no kindness. They have no patience. They have no temperance. Why is it the Holy Spirit would give you a spiritual gift, but you don't have the fruits? Are you with me? You may have a gift that you created, but if you truly got the Holy Spirit, you have His fruit too. And you're gonna care for people, and you're gonna be quick to forgive, and you're gonna make allowance for people's faults. You're gonna be slow to get angry. You're gonna put out some meekness. You're gonna be humble. And I believe now in America and in our world more than ever, we need some lives producing some fruit that would nourish the lives of people around us. No Snow White apples in here, okay? Don't produce the fruit that knocks them out cold. Produce the fruit that raises them up. Have you been fed today? So I think it's important that we stop and we say, where's she at? Where's your mama? Is she up there? Stand up. I need to talk to you. Thank you for being real today. And thank you for not being ashamed to come take a microphone and change the course of a service. Because I firmly believe by your boldness and your courage today, God used it to change the course of some lives. Great is your reward. Don't ever stop. I'm proud of you. I'm thankful for you. Let's stand. You're still early. I mean, I still really got 20 minutes. Y'all want me to take them? No, just kidding. Of if you would just stick around for a few minutes so that we could pour slime all over our elders. And we're going to do that outside. The one of our elders came up with this idea. If God blew our expectations of the offering of giving from 1,000 to 3,200, then maybe God could lay it on your life to just finish the course. And so today, as you leave, I'm going to have a couple people just standing at the door as you make your way to the parking lot in a little bit. You say, what good is a playground? Because it's just a thing. It's more than that. It's a ministry opportunity. It's a place where maybe a family that's broken can come spend an afternoon in the back and experience Jesus Christ. I don't believe we should ever build anything onto a church that can't be used for God's glory. And if you've ever taught the kids on a Sunday that Dennis is preaching and he goes long, you know how much of a blessing it would be to be able to take the kids outside. I'm just kidding. I'm picking on a man that's not even here. That's not even right, is it? Pray for Dennis. He's been sick. And we love you. I know he's watching. Just maybe we could get there today. And if God lays it on your heart, I'm going to have Tim, could you do it? Could you stand at the back with an offering plate? Could you do that? Chris, could you help him? Is that okay with you? They'll just be at the back door. We'll put one. Andre, just grab one and stand by that door. Go get your kids and meet us in the parking lot. There's a sign-up sheet for baptism, which we will be doing next Sunday. If you've never been baptized, but you're saved, we'd love to be able to celebrate with you your public statement of faith. Sign up for the conference. There's a $25 fee. I've been telling everybody this. We will find you a scholarship if you cannot make it. It's a one-day conference, lunch provided, all kinds of materials that'll change your life on helping with anxiety. If you're online and you'd like to be a part of that conference, send us a message on Facebook. DJ will get back with you. We'll make sure you get on there. Has it been good to be in the house of the Lord today? If so, give God some praise. It's been good to fellowship with you. Let's pray. Chris, if you would, come close us in prayer. I'm going to give you this microphone. As soon as we're done, go get your kids. Meet us. Meet us out here. I'm going to kind of wait. We're going to give it 5 minutes. Right? Elders, go change. Hey, by the way, can we take a vote that we reject his resignation? Do I have that vote? Did we have that say, Garrett has to get slimed today? It's rejected. You're Simon Wade? All right, there you go. He's up there. All right, good deal. Let's have some fun. Let's have some fun. Chris, close us in prayer.
Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what happened here today. And it's truly an Acts 2 church, Lord, where they confess their sins. And we as a church help one another to grow closer to you and to bring others to you. Thank you for restoration and forgiveness, Lord, that only you offer. As we go out in this week, Lord, put us in front of others that we can tell them about what you offer. May we continue to bring glory to your name, Lord, in everything we say, do, and think. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.